Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Cheryl Hardy, FAA Production Studios Public Relations and National FAST Team Representative of the Year from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Good afternoon and welcome to the rooftop of the FAA Production Studios at the FAST Team National Resource Center here on the field at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. Welcome to Sun and Fun 2011, where it is spring break for pilots. And as you can hear behind me and tell by the sunshine, we're starting to have a lot of activity out here on the field today. And we're pleased to have everybody who's attending the event. For those of you that are joining us on the stream, welcome. I know you're going to enjoy the programs that we're going to bring you all week long here at the FAA Production Studios. So stay tuned in this week because we've got a great agenda for you. On the rooftop today, I've got a special guest with me. I've got Mr. Jack Pelton, CEO of Cessna. Welcome.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's great to be here, especially with all the sunshine.
Isn't it, though, after the last couple of days?
We were hoping. Monday, it was a little iffy.
Yeah, it certainly was.
And actually, back home in Wichita, it's in the 30s, so this is wonderful.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Okay, so let's not get you too sunburned though out here today. But it is a beautiful day. How are things going down at Cessna today? We've got your exhibit right next to the FAA Production Studios.
It's been a great week. We started the weekend out with all of our dealers here from actually around the world and held meetings in Tampa to kick off the show. And so far the response has been good, the crowd's been enthusiastic, and we're selling airplanes. That's even more important.
That's what you want to hear. That's fantastic. You know, we've got a lot going on the field here today, and it will be all week long as well, and we'll have student days. And we've got, joining us on this live stream right now, Jack, we've got 93,000 students in the Polk
That's
County
great.
School System. Isn't that wonderful?
It really is.
So let's welcome those students, and let's talk a little bit about aviation to those students for a few moments, if we may.
Certainly.
You know, we're facing a shortage, from what I understand, we're going to be facing a shortage of pilots and aviation-related careers in the upcoming future. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's interesting because I got into this industry, I think, at a very young age, probably similar to the kids that are out watching the show today. And one of the things that we've lost over time, because there's so many other entertainment sources, is kids coming out to the airport, seeing airplanes, seeing them fly, also learning and understanding that there's a whole breadth of careers that can come out of aviation. It's not just the pilot, but there's the technicians, there's the designers, there's even the people in the finance organizations that help these aviation companies run. There's the airlines, there's medevac, there's, you just name it, it goes on forever. And as an industry, we have to do a better job of communicating what are all those opportunities, what are all the fields in aviation that kids should have some exposure to and contemplate and consider with their career.
What do you think the best way to get into aviation is?
Well, one of the ways today, I think, is to find people who can be mentors for you. Mm-hmm. And there are a variety of programs that are out there today. Mm-hmm. Certainly within the schools, I hope that we're creating teachers that can become mentors for students. But also the Young Eagles program through AAA is a great program for people to get out, get a ride in an airplane, no cost to anybody, have their parents become part of the process so that they understand the connectivity to this industry, and use those folks that are volunteering their time to be able to ask the questions, hang around with them, do all the things necessary to find out more about aviation, and certainly an event like Sun and Fun. You know, spending time out here, everybody that's here displaying or part of this industry has a passion to try to bring young people into aviation. So if you come out, don't be bashful. We all love hearing all those inquisitive questions. We're here to help you. We're here to get you as excited about this industry as we are.
That's right. And I noticed yesterday you did a great interview with some of the students from the LEAP Foundation. Tell me a little bit about that.
That was fun. The LEAP Foundation students came to our booth, and they came very well prepared. They had a list of questions that they all contributed to over a variety of topics, everything from where do you think green technology is going to, what's it like running a big company? So. When you visit and you interact with students like that, it gives you such a great feeling about our future as a nation, our future in this industry, because we have just the best and the brightest that are out here, and it's fun to engage with them.
We absolutely do. There's no question about that. Now, if you had any advice for some of the students watching, would you point them to any specific courses that they should take?
Well, it's everybody has to find their own passion and what really inspires them, because you don't want to force fit people in directions that they're not comfortable with. So certainly those who are interested in aircraft design, the math and sciences are really an area that you need to focus on for careers as pilots. Business management is a great place to focus your attention, because you can't fly forever, and yet you can be involved in the business side of it. And then certainly for those who just want to be involved in aviation, almost every field in education has a connection back to aviation as far as jobs. As I mentioned, it can be in front offices, it can be customer service, it can be technicians. If you're mechanically inclined, getting an A&P license is a great way to find to find your path. And I also mentioned that, for example, at our company, our A&P mechanics and our service centers that are located around the nation, we also have educational assistance programs. So they can start as a mechanic, and we help them continue their education and get their bachelor's degree. So that's something I also encourage. If you don't know yet where you want to go, do something that you like, and then help it guide you the rest of the way.
How do you get involved in those programs if you're a student?
Well, right here in the Polk County, there's a wonderful school here on the Lakeland Airport, but there's also a lot of technical colleges in the area that can help provide A&P. And then you have in Florida Embry-Riddle, which is take you right up to a PhD in engineering. So,
yes, absolutely.
The spectrum of education possibilities are all right here.
Would you say there were any special skills needed to fly an airplane?
Flying an airplane is really around two distinct skills. It helps develop your own discipline, because you have to be, through the process, you have to be disciplined and following through on the lesson plan, checklists in flying airplanes, studying to about the safety aspects of flying. And then I think there's also another element that's about your own ability to be inquisitive. And to really explore beyond what's necessary just to manipulate the controls, but to learn about weather, learn about the infrastructure that you fly, and learn a little more about the airplane, the design, the mechanics of it. But those are kind of the two primary skills.
Never be afraid to ask questions?
Never, never. I encourage everybody, even in their own career ambitions, is constantly learn. You have to have an appetite to want to continue to learn, to be inquisitive, ask questions, stretch yourself, things that you may not be directly responsible for. Look around and find out how it all connects.
Jack, how did you get started in aviation?
That's a story that's a fun one, because my father was a Army Air Corps pilot, flew PT-22 to get his wings in the Air Force, and from what I understand from my mother, that's all he wanted to do growing up. And she was her high school sweetheart, and they married while he's in the Army Air Corps, and she went and learned to fly while he was training. So they were both pilots. Mm-hmm. And they did not pursue that as a career. They both ended up actually becoming dentists. But as kids, we grew up, while other kids may have been playing with Lincoln Logs, we were building model airplanes and having fun learning about the history of the plane and its contribution to the war effort or to civilian use. And out of my brothers and sisters, I was the only one that got the bug and knew early on that's the area I wanted to pursue. And that's why I advise people, if that is your passion, follow your dreams, and then you'll never have any regrets.
So you started, you got the bug, and you wanted to start to fly. So where did you go?
I went to Long Beach Airport in Long Beach, California, when I was 16. I had flown with my family and been to air shows like Sun and Fun. But it was kind of that point in life where, your parents were supportive, but you needed to show them that you were going to be disciplined and committed to it. And I remember sitting down with my dad and saying, I've decided I really want to learn to fly. And he said, okay, if you're going to do this, here's the requirements. You got to take it seriously. You don't want to waste money. You want to commit to taking lessons a couple times a week. You need to get your written out of the way first.
Yes.
So that won't be in the way. And, this kind of in a young man's life, a turning point to really having some direction and some focus. And it's, it's a memory that I'll never forget. And it stuck with me. And I've flown ever since. I went to work as an engineer at Douglas Aircraft, and spent 21 years doing that before coming to Cessna.
Okay.
And I I still fly and own airplanes and restore them, and it's not only my avocation, but my hobby on the side.
What are your favorite airplanes?
Well, I have a Ryan PT-22, 1942, that came from the airfield that my dad soloed in.
Really?
Yeah, and he's 86 and not in good health, and I've always had a dream of owning one that, because he got me started in aviation, and actually I named my son Ryan after that airplane when he was born. And so that's probably my most favorite airplane.
What else do you own?
I own a 1954 Cessna 195 that was the airplane owned by Clyde Cessna's nephew, Dwayne Wallace, who was the second chairman of Cessna. And he had passed away, and his widow had it on loan to a museum, and I was able to buy it from her and restored it. And he took it to Oshkosh in the 80s and won an award, and I took it in 2007 and won the same award after restoring it.
That's
so
wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And my wife's currently learning to fly.
I was going to ask you that
question. Has flown with me for years and was interested, but never felt comfortable in the she had done some pinch hitter courses, but wasn't really sure what airplane she would be comfortable in. We came out with a Skycatcher. She had gone to a preview of that and sat down that night and said, I want to learn to fly and I want to buy the first Skycatcher. And I said, do you think you have some pull? Can you help me with this one? And she ended up buying the first one and is soloed and is just finishing up her license right now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she flew it to Sun and Fun last year.
Oh, that's great.
From Wichita with her instructor and has really enjoyed it. It's been a great experience for her.
That's nice. Now, when you fly together, how does that go? Who gets the controls?
Well, you know, I'm trying to learn to be patient and a teacher. And there's some things in life that couples should do together, and there's some that you probably shouldn't, which is why I'm not involved in your training at all. And because of that, we have a great relationship.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. But it's been fun for me. When I fly now, the types of questions she asks and what she's interested in, and the learning is real enjoyable. Because now you're on a long cross country, and instead of just observing and watching systems, there's a great time for me. It tests me.
Sure.
Because to be able to teach is, you got to know more than you might have thought. So she's asking those questions. It's making me go back and relearn, which is a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Try what my husband and I do and what John and Martha do. We each take a leg and,
it's your leg. And
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Your pilot in command.
It works famously.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, let's talk about a little bit about new technology. What do you see coming up on the horizon?
Well, it's been interesting. The avionics technology is going at speeds that I thought never were possible as far as where we are today. You know, when GPS came out and that was back in the 80s, it was an incredible step. But now we're in all glass cockpits with situational awareness that we've never had before. The integration of data into the cockpit with weather products, traffic products that are now available on light single engine piston airplanes that were only on jumbo jets just years ago, is really incredible. The WAS approaches that we can do really makes flying now safer than it's ever been in my mind, because you have the information to make smart, informed decisions, not only in your pre-flighting and your planning that you can do, but also in the cockpit and route, so you can strategically figure out what you want to do. And I think that's just a huge plus for the industry. We announced with a Corvallis TTX that we announced here at the show, the new Garmin G2000 package, and it has a feature in there that will prevent you from getting into a situation where you're banking excessively, pitching excessively. It's almost having a big brother in the airplane to continue to help the safety of pilots getting into attitudes that they shouldn't be in, and that's continuing to evolve. I mean, I think Garmin's already demonstrated there was a bonanza that they actually remotely landed, and so the speed that this technology is coming is really incredible. Next, I think that it's coming along slower, but we've got to find a way to accelerate. Is what are we going to do about engine technology? You know, how do we get all of the knobs and levers out of the cockpit? You know, all of the leaning you do in the propeller controlling, so that it's automatic through a fade deck, and the ability for an engine to sense other types of fuel. Because we've got an issue with 100 low lead long term that we're going to have to address, whether it be auto fuel, whether it be a replacement fuel, whether it be diesel-powered engines. That's really, I think, the next frontier in technology that the smaller aircraft have got to find a way to embrace.
You hit on 2 points, and I'd like to back up to the Corvallis. I haven't seen it yet. Tell me about that.
The Corvallis, you know, we introduced the Corvallis back in 2007. It's the fastest single-engine piston fixed-gear airplane out there today, which is a mouthful, but it just means it's a fast, fun airplane to fly, all composite. We are launching a new version of it at the show.
Okay.
Which will be standard with this new, we refer to it as an intrinsic flight deck system, which is powered by Garmin G2000. And we've redesigned the flight deck so that it's really, the ergonomics of the pilot and the machine are very friendly. It's got touch screens so that if you decide you want to pull weather up, there's an icon that has a cloud. You hit that, the weather comes up. A lot of other features like that make it very easy to interface with, and it's just chocked full of features. Then we also appointed it with new leather interiors, color schemes. It's a very luxurious airplane to boot, and so far it's gotten great reception here at the show.
That's fantastic. That's excellent. The other thing you touched on was fuel. Let's talk about fuel and where do you think we're going with some of the fuel issues that we're having?
Well, the EPA came out and made some pretty strong statements about lead in the current 100 low lead fuel that we use in aviation, and I think everybody intellectually knows that you can't have lead in fuel forever. I mean, it's a carcinogen that eventually we've got to find a way to get it out of fuel. What we have to be careful is this industry is so vital to our nation's transportation system that we can't, by regulatory decisions that may be hasty, ground a lot of airplanes. I mean, that would be just a disaster. I think one of the greatest examples is talking to some of the congressional delegation in Alaska. They don't have paved roads. The air is their highway, and they need airplanes to get to all the rural areas, and we can't afford to cripple an economy like that. So we've got to get to work on figuring out what are some of the technical paths that are necessary to replace 100 low lead with what I hope will be a fuel that will be able to be used with minor modifications to every airplane out there today so that no one is left behind.
Any new developments in avionics that you'd like to talk about?
Well, let's see. The synthetic vision that's now becoming more common on some of the glass panel products that we deliver is certainly another big safety feature that we're seeing, especially if you're flying in mountainous terrain. It's if you haven't seen it, it's worth visiting some of the avionics displays that are here and looking at what exactly that means when they say synthetic vision, because it gives you in the cockpit the ability to understand the terrain that you're in at a much, much greater detail than you've ever been able to see before, which all improves safety, which is important. Then just the fact that these avionics systems are getting so integrated, they have so many features. It's just, it's hard to imagine when you and I started flying that where it's actually gone today.
Oh, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. How about on the jet side? What do you have going on the jet side? Any new announcements? Anything coming up on the horizon there?
Well, we just announced a new Citation 10. The Citation 10 is the fastest commercial airplane built today. It's Mach 0.92. We announced just at the end of last year a new version of that where we're stretching it, some more room in the cabin, a whole new flight deck, the G5000 flight deck, which is another touchscreen automated a flight deck with an integrated cabin system that's state-of-the-art. Mm-hmm. And we have some more announcements coming.
Excellent.
We're not announcing at the show, but we'll be announcing later this year.
Okay.
We're spending a lot of money on research and development.
So should I stay away from that topic?
Everybody asks.
I know. I was going to ask you if there are any new configurations inside the cabin.
As far as inside of the 10, there's a lot of new features that everyone has adopted iPads, iPhones, all this mobile technology, and we're needing to adopt our cockpits to be able to accept that, because portable devices are becoming more commonplace for people to bring their own entertainment with them, and we need to integrate that into each seat in the airplane, which is coming, and it's pretty exciting technology.
Let's hit the light sports side now. We're going to go from fast to a little bit slower.
Quite a bit slower.
How is the light sports side going?
It's good. We went through a long certification process because we really wanted to make sure we got our 162 Skycatcher right. Mm-hmm. And we have really validated we've got the right airplane that's not only fun to fly but a good trainer, economical, and very reliable. We're ramping up production now. We've delivered over 80 last year, and this year we'll probably deliver close to 150. And it's the feedback I'm getting from the flight schools that have them and the individual owners that are operating them is that it's really hit the mark, that people are very, very pleased with it.
That's wonderful. That's exciting.
It really is.
I mean, every day and when I'm out in the field and we're hangar talking and all that good stuff, everybody's talking about the light sport. And, you know, I think it was a fantastic move as far as, aviation and the industry. So I think it's going to be incredibly popular.
One of the things that we identified early on is part of this pilot shortage that gets talked about in the how do you draw people into aviation when it's perceived to be expensive is trying to bring the price point down of getting people into flying. Our local FBO in Wichita, which is by no means a discounted FBO, you can rent a skycatcher with fuel for $98 an hour, and that's a pretty big price break over what a 172 or 182 is. So people can learn to fly, get their licenses less expensive, but also you can stay current.
Sure.
You can continue to fly. And that's been, I think, a problem. Many friends that I've introduced to aviation, they'll say, well, yep, Jack, now that I've got my license, it's very expensive to just go out and, you know, tell the family that I'm just going to do, you know, some touch and goes and spend a couple hundred dollars. This helps that, which is really important.
You know, you mentioned the word green earlier on in our conversation. What is Cessna doing as far as the environment and environmental impact?
Well, as a company, we launched an initiative internally about 2 years ago, which is our Environmental Policy Council. And we're really looking at our company and trying to make sure that we're doing the right things to reduce our carbon footprint, reduce our dependency on processes and things that we do inside that aren't environmentally friendly. So we're engaging all of our employees into that. So that's been kind of an exciting, fun initiative for us. And then we're looking at all of our new designs. You know, how do we continue to produce airplanes that are more fuel efficient, better again with what the noise footprint is, better with what the emissions is. And we as an industry have committed by 2020 to really knock down our environmental footprint in actual flying. And so we're very, very active in it.
What about on the electric aircraft side? What do you have going on that?
You know, we're involved in an agreement with Bai Energy, who's using a 172 with an electric motor in it, and we're helping with the technical side of it and the installation, the certification of it. And they're bringing the expertise on batteries and some of the things that we're not so comfortable with. And I think they'll be ready to fly the prototype here probably in the next 90 days.
Wonderful.
And it's one of those projects that it's a true research and development that I believe you really need to be a part of, because at some point the technology is going to converge to where it makes sense to be able to have an airplane, you know, the batteries power size being small enough, the ability to fly for a couple hours, which is, you know, critically important.
Sure.
That's not just a flying around the pattern kind of airplane. And again, that ought to really help bring the cost down.
That's wonderful. You know, you've got a lot of exciting things going on. You've got a lot of exciting things that are coming on the horizon, and I'm sure you're going to have those announcements for Oshkosh. I'm sure that there'll be some nice things going on there too, but I'm hoping to get up there to see you at Oshkosh.
Good.
Which will be really great.
Yeah.
We are going to be signing off in just a few minutes. We're going to be transferring back downstairs, but I'd like you to have a few moments for any last words you'd like to get out to our viewers.
Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me up here today.
My pleasure.
This has been very rewarding, and I think especially for the students that are out there, mm-hmm. Get out and really take a hard look at aviation. Come out to Sun and Fun. Spend some time seeing what aviation's all about. Open your minds up, because it's more than just flying. And I think you'll find it can be very exciting for most people. So get out here and enjoy it.
It's extremely rewarding if you get a chance, and if you're on the field today at Sun and Fun, make sure you stop by the Cessna exhibit. It is directly to the east of the FAA Production Studios in the National Resource Center, and you won't want to miss it. I'm going to get down there hopefully later on this week, and if they let me out of here for a little while, that'll be fantastic. So from the rooftop of the FAA Production Studios, Jack, I thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.